Global markets are in risk-off mode. There's a huge sell-off happening across equities, precious metals, oil, and even the usually safe haven yellow metal has lost steam, now trading below $1,900 an ounce, that is gold. Here at home, the picture is a grisly one. The All Share Index declined by 2.5%, or just nearly 2.5%, to close at 53,319 index points. Financials ended 3.27% in the red. Resources were down by 2.72%, and industrials were also down by just over 2%. The oil price has taken a knock, with Brent crude now hovering around $41 a barrel. Last Friday, the local currency had run up really hard, looking good, flirting in the low 16s versus the dollar. But with the change in risk sentiment now, we see the rand weaker, trading at 16.88 against the greenback, 19.81 versus the euro, and 21.51 against the British pound. Well, to give us his take on this bloody day, I'm joined on the line by Viv Govender. He's a portfolio manager at Rand Swiss. Thank you so much for joining us, Viv. So is the sell-off that we're seeing a blip, or it's something that's been long in coming given the hard run-up in markets like the United States?
Well, to a certain extent, there's a number of explanations for this particular sell-off. One is the hard run-up and the fact that we haven't seen the economies of the world really follow up and, you know, the kind of optimism, especially what you've seen in the US. Next, there's also been that news of like a few days ago, over a week ago, that broke that apparently much of the rally in the tech sector may have been fueled by what's called a gamma squeeze, and those allegations that SoftBank and other might have been involved in that. And that, to some extent, I was also worrying. It coincided with the same time we saw some pullback in some of these tech stock prices. But I think what really happened recently is twofold. Firstly, we had, of course, the rise in new cases in Europe, indicating that, you know, either you have a total wipeout of the virus, or you just got to live with it as it is, because right now what's happening is much of Europe is facing the fears of another lockdown coming through.
Yes.
And you also have the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which is a Supreme Court justice in the U.S. And she was a key Democrat in that, you know, balance of that court. And her death means that Donald Trump gets a chance to replace yet another justice, skewing the court more Republican. And that's going to make it much more difficult to reach another stimulus package in the U.S. because this, I think, is going to dominate politics for the next 40, 50 days until the U.S. election on the 3rd of November.
It's interesting that you say that, because my next question was going to be, as we head to the U.S. elections, can we expect more volatility regardless of the odd positive headline here and there about COVID-19 vaccines?
Oh, yeah, most certainly. I mean, the vaccine, even if it does get created today, there's still a very long pathway for safety and then production and then distribution to everywhere in the world, and finally reaching South Africa and other poorer countries, unfortunately. So I don't think that's going to be the main issue. The election, I think, a few weeks ago was priced by the VIX, which is the volatility index of the U.S., as the most riskiest single day that they'd ever priced in history. So it's a very scary election. And a thing that people may not realize is that on the day of the election, it's quite possible that, you know, Donald Trump being declared the winner, or looking to be the winner, not declared the winner, but looking to be the winner, but then a few days later having Biden come back really strongly, because Biden is going to get a lot of mail-in votes, and mail-in votes may only be counted a few days afterwards.
Because they take time, time.
And so you could easily find a situation in which this election, the results are known several days afterwards, and one only has to think back in 2000 when we had Al Gore and George W. Bush and the kind of the stuff we had there in a much saner time with much saner people, Bush and Gore, are nothing comparable to Trump, you know what I mean? And it's like what people say about Bush, people now think back of Bush as a more sensible figure after what we had with Trump. So it's going to be a very risky time, unless we have a big blowout, either for Trump, which is very unlikely, or for Biden, which looks a lot more likely. If you have a very close election that's decided in one or two states, you're going to find a lot of, uncertainty around the election date.
We're constantly told that since the global financial crisis that banks have been heavily regulated and they can't make one move wrong or anything like that. But then we hear reports from the financial crimes, blah, blah, FinCEN, that basically they're a bunch of investigative journalists. And basically they've come out with reports telling us that the likes of HSBC, Deutsche Bank, Standard Chartered, a whole string of these banks have actually helped to facilitate dirty money to the tune of over $2 trillion from the early noughties to recent times. How can this be, and how is this allowed to happen?
Well, here's the thing. The number you said explains it all. $2 trillion is a very big number with many zeros afterwards. And that explains why people are getting tempted to do these kind of things. Obviously, you know, it's illegal. But, I mean, if you look at the kind of stuff that possibly is being fueled by, you know, illicit money, to say the least, maybe not, you know, illegal money, but illicit money, I mean, people, for instance, point to London property markets or, you know, New York property markets as being things that are fueled almost entirely by Chinese citizens and citizens from the Middle East and Russia trying to find a safe haven to park their money away from their home countries. It may not be, you know, entirely illegal, but it does seem to be basically skirting the law a bit there. At the same time, we are finding the bigger corporations, the Apple, the Amazon, and so on, looking for, you know, moving jurisdictions, having operations in places like Ireland to reduce the overall tax rate. So it's a case of, I think, shades of grey as opposed to just purely black and white.
Yeah.
That's causing stuff to happen.
Yeah, no, shades of grey, definitely, but definitely dark sides as well. I mean, otherwise, how on earth do you continue to do things like human trafficking if you're not managing to profit from it and recycle dirty money into clean money?
Yes, most certainly. But like I said, I mean, that's probably a smaller part of it. A lot more is likely to be tax evasion. I think drug money might be a small part of it, but a lot of stuff is just going to be tax evasion, which is probably a far bigger deal than it, or evading basically detection by home authorities. Places like, I mean, not just, you know, in Europe and America, but like I said, Russia, China, the Middle East, and so on. And it starts off with one thing that was slightly more dodgy, but as you get along the way, when you start having, like, people evading their taxes in places like China, you don't know exactly where the money comes from because, I mean, yes, there may be just people wanting to avoid corrupt officials in China. It could also be people that wanted to do drug deals, wanted to do human trafficking, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And as you disrupt the system, it becomes easier and easier for other people to hide themselves among these disruptive methods.
Yeah. And then before I let you go, Viv, you know, we were, you know, in celebratory mood on Friday about how well the Rand was doing. It was trading in the low 16s vis-a-vis. People were talking about it maybe hitting 15.50 against the US dollar. Now it's lost a whole load of ground and it's trading closer to 17. We know that our fundamentals, the economic fundamentals, are not great right now. So I suppose it's not much of a surprise on a risk-off day that we've gone back to where we were.
Yeah, most certainly. But look, I mean, to a certain extent, the last few months have been reasonably, I would think, almost calm. If you look at where we were at the start of the year, we were at 14. And then we hit, you know, 19 plus within a few months later as the virus really took off. Since then, we've kind of been slowly hovering on, kind of, you know, trending down. There's been some setbacks along the way, but we are slowly trending down. And I do think that if you have to look at where we were over the last little while, you know, 15 to 16 seems to be a fair range for us in the fundamentals. Obviously, there's the question about how badly is the virus in South Africa versus the world, and we'll know more about that next month.
Yeah.
But I do think the fundamental trend should be slightly stronger for now. Longer term, of course, our inflation rate is higher, our economy is weaker, we have all these issues, and the trend should be, you know, weaker over time. But right now, I do suspect that we are slightly, you know, weaker than we should be at this particular time in 2020.
Mm. Viv, thank you so much for your contributions. That was Viv Govender. He's a portfolio manager at Rand Suisse.